Well, hello once again, loyal listeners of WWGH Radio. Adam here on The Place for Talk, The Place for Wisecracks, and when it's a program featuring yours truly behind the microphone, certainly a surprise or two. We bring you the monthly feature on the station, The Naturalist Report. So if you've not listened to this program, or if you're a loyal listener, hopefully it's the latter, get some coffee or your favorite refreshment, sit back and cancel everything else for the next 44 minutes. This will be well worth it. Your ears and brain cells, and most importantly, your funny bone will certainly thank you. We get together every Monday from about 10:15 to 11, and Wednesday and Thursday between approximately 12:15 and 1 Eastern time. And my co-star here, microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, and maybe partner in crime, Mr. James Anderson, the official naturalist of this station and an esteemed employee of the Marion County Park District. So first and foremost, James, how are you on this fine day in Radio Land?
Oh, I'm doing great.
Well, that's good. Great is always a good way to be. You know, this program is so good, we're going to rebroadcast it a few times, but it's probably late February when you're listening. Now, James, you were at the esteemed Groundhog event at multiple places in the Mid-Ohio area. If I'm not mistaken, the Groundhog said that we would not have an early spring, that it would continue to be cold for a few weeks, right?
Yes, yeah.
Now, it appears that the Groundhog is about as honest as a lot of our politicians, or the Groundhog was about as smart as a lot of our politicians, and he was wrong. So what's going on? Is it climate change? Are we going to get a big snowstorm in May, or are we just kind of lucky that it's been rather spring-like of late?
You know, I mean, I'm glad that Buckeye Chuck's wrong for this year, but unfortunately, yes, climate change is always a big factor. You know, we're getting very unusual weather patterns, not just here in Ohio, but, I mean, across the world. Because I mean, there are people that, you know, I talk to that say, you know, that this was very rare for them growing up. Probably, you know, a lot of your listeners, probably, you know, not familiar with this kind of winters. But then, of course, you know, we're not out of the woods yet. So, you know, we could have a snowstorm, unfortunately, in April. I hope not in May, but it can happen. So
I remember growing up, you know, with the baseball season has begun, spring training. The season will begin in a few weeks. It always seems to get a snowstorm, you know, in Cincinnati for the opening game of the Red season right around the 1st of April. And, you know, it's warm. We have more sun. So by that point, in fact, the days are actually longer than the nights because it's after the beginning of spring on approximately March 21st. So it melts in a couple days, but it's like there's always snow right around the beginning of baseball season. But as we've talked about, James, that's what you and I like about the Midwest. If you don't like the weather, you know, chill out for a day or two. It'll change. If you want summer every day, move to Fort Lauderdale or San Diego or parts of Hawaii. Not all parts of Hawaii have daily summer. Or if you want winter every day, you know, move to northern Alaska. But if you want variety, move to the Midwest. And I think it's mild enough in the winter that you're not going to feel you're living in a freezer. And it's not so hot in the summer that you're going to feel like you have taken residence in a sauna. I think we're in a good place here in Ohio, a good compromise. And it seems like it's been mild this winter. We have had some cold streaks right before Christmas. The temperature has trouble getting above zero. But all in all, you know, we don't normally see temperatures around 70 in February.
No.
We'll find out. Do you think the summer is going to be hot and sweltering? Or are we going to pay for this rather warm winter with maybe a lot of rain and thunder and temperatures, you know, at times a bit on the cool side? What is your crystal ball saying, or have you talked to Buckeye Chuck about it?
You know, I hate saying it, but yeah, I think that this summer is going to be a warm one. I think we're not going to have a lot of rainy days, so unfortunately we may see some drought conditions in some areas, maybe not severe drought, but just, you know, areas where grass could be getting very brown, and, you know, of course, our little pond areas might be drying up. So, yeah, we might be paying for it, but hopefully not. Maybe hopefully we get some rain for the summer.
Yeah, we'll find out. Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with our official naturalist, Mr. James Anderson discussing the rather odd weather during this second half of the winter and the upcoming spring. Now, with the Marion County Park District, James, and again, our changeable Midwest weather, March is probably one of your busiest months, and we're going to talk about that soon. Did want to ask you, though, we don't try to be too political, but, you know, why not? You know, you're a friendly guy, James. About the groundhog event, there was a lot of controversy this year. Seems like PETA doesn't like the idea of a regular groundhog, you know, the live member of the animal kingdom participating. What's your take on that? I mean, you're like me, you know, you love animals, you love nature, but you eat meat, you know, I do. I'm not a fan of PETA. In fact, I find them to be, let's not talk about how I actually feel about PETA on the air, as this is a family station. So the idea, though, James, that we shouldn't use a live groundhog, that it is animal abuse, that it's not appropriate. Do you have an opinion on that?
I mean, I wish we had a live groundhog, but I mean, in a way, I do see where they're coming from, but I think a way we should be able to compromise, you know, and I know that not just Ohio, I know the original Punxsutawney Phil, I know that they have been trying for several years to have them quit the live groundhog tradition. I think if I read right a few years ago, they tried to get them to use a animatronic robot, which they haven't. So, you know, Buckeye Chuck, and since, you know, it wasn't the first attempt that they have tried to stop using a live groundhog. But, you know, in a way, again, I do understand in a point where they come from, because, you know, it does, in a way, yes, stress the animal out. But in a way, I just feel that, you know, it's only for a very short time. We get the animal calmed down. You know, we leave it alone. Everything goes back to normal. But hopefully next year, we can use an actual live groundhog. If not, I guess we'll just continue the tradition like we did, you know, early this month, and we'll see where it goes. Yeah,
so. I think one thing we can concur on, and maybe PETA should pay more attention to this, it gives people knowledge about these animals. Even, you know, as we talked about, the groundhog is essentially a nuisance animal, and you're allowed to give one its final burrow before ending its life, and you can even eat it if you wish. You said you've eaten groundhog in the past and wasn't too bad. But even nuisance animals, you know, we still should respect them. You know, even rats and squirrels, they have their place, and groundhogs may not be glamorous. You know, I mean, they're not cute like deer, even though, you know, people obviously shoot and eat deer, although it's regulated. But they do have their place. They have their place in the food chain and a place in society and a place in nature. And I do think, I think we can agree on this, James, just having the groundhog out there and being in the spotlight does help us learn about nature. We learn about what these creatures look like. People who live in the city may never have even seen a groundhog. Whereas in Marion, we have that balance between the small town and the city. So you certainly see these creatures. But I think putting one in the spotlight for a bit does allow us to learn about them. And that's a good thing. I mean, that's what you do, is you give in your job, James. I mean, you're paid to let people be aware of their surroundings, about the flora and fauna, and appreciate the world better that we share with these living things. So I guess if you look at it that way, I mean, probably could spend a week's worth of shows on this, but that's kind of how I feel. Does that seem logical?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, well, that's put that to rest. And speaking of groundhogs, James, you know, people have met you. You're kind of a tall guy, so you're not hard to recognize. Apparently, the groundhog costume at the tremendous event we had a few weeks ago, you were the person inside the costume, if I'm not mistaken.
I was, yes.
So one of the world's tallest groundhogs. And what did you think about that? Was it kind of fun? Did you fool anybody? Because you're one of the tallest people that is associated with the station. So may have been somewhat obvious. But
you know, it's funny. It was tight. It was a really tight costume. Lengthwise, I mean, it fit okay. But widthwise, it was definitely meant for a little smaller person. Did you ever watch Tommy Boy with Chris Farley and David Spade? You know, that's that famous scene, that fat guy in the little coat. Well, that's how life feels in that groundhog outfit.
Yeah, well, you were like super groundhog, but it was fun.
Yeah, and it was funny. I couldn't sit down because if I did, I felt like I was going to rip the costume. And it wasn't my costume. It was Headwaters Outdoor Education Center, which is in Morrow County. They let us borrow the costume for the event. So I wanted to make sure I respected it. So I had to stand for the whole thing. So that was fun.
Did your beard stick out, or did it kind of like go under the costume?
No, the head piece was huge, and but the problem was I couldn't see anything directly in front of me. I can only see out the sides, but it was very mesh like, so it was really hard to see. But luckily, I forget the one gentleman who made the pizza. He was my guide, and he helped me find the slice of pizza. Okay, to do well, the weather predictions.
Sounds like it would have been a smashingly fun and adventurous event, but that's how we roll here at the Talking Place. So yeah. Again,
and I think I chose the piece of pizza that was Buckeye Chuck's prediction of a longer, colder winter. So my own prediction so far is wrong. So.
Yeah, and it's also interestingly, James. You know, February is such a crazy month. It just seems like it flies. I mean, it's 28 days, yeah, but it seems like it's 15 days sometimes. It seems like the day after Groundhog Day is when it really started warming up. We've had a few days where it's been a little bit below seasonable, but not -5 like right before Christmas. I mean, you know, 25 or 30, which is certainly tolerable, especially since I used to live in northern New York, where that's an average high during January. It seems like just after February 2nd is when it warmed up. It's like Mother Nature was laughing at Buckeye Chuck, like laughing at this whole concept.
It seems like it, yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we'll find out, and next time we talk, it'll be toward the end of March, and maybe we'll be sitting here in our swimsuits, or maybe we'll be going to the bargain bin at Walmart and purchasing a parka due to Mother Nature going in reverse. We'll find out. So anyway, James, you are a big cheese at the Marion County Park District. You run programs, you answer questions, you run their social media, and do all that other fine stuff. So, in February, you know, short month, it's associated with winter, but it was actually a busy month, especially being rather mild. Let's talk about a recent event, as I mentioned on social media. I will be sure to ask him. So, the owl event, James, and I'll preface this by saying we've talked on previous shows that owls are associated with intelligence. They kind of look like a kind of a smart person wearing glasses. But, you know, birds in general, they aren't known for their brains, even though some birds, like hawks, as we've talked about, they're rather intelligent. They hold grudges. They remember people probably better than a lot of humans. But despite their, I guess, legacy and their appearance, owls are not very intelligent. I mean, they are beautiful. They're kind of mystic with their noises and their beautiful appearance. But they just aren't quite as intelligent as they're made out to be. So how did the owl event go, James? And were there people that really were expecting owls to be these real intelligent creatures? Or maybe they were fooled by that?
Yeah, so it was a really nice day. A little gusty, but we had a handful of people that came out. But we were primarily calling for the screech owls. Those are the most common species of owl in Ohio, Marion County. We attempted some of the other species, but they didn't call back. But yes, you're kind of talking about the whole intelligence thing. It's kind of funny. The big reason why that they're not really intelligent actually has to do with their eyes. Their eyes take up about 70% to 80% of their skull space, so only leaves about 10% to roughly 20% left for brain capacity. So that's not very much. So if you had a scale from the most intelligent to the least intelligent, owls are the least intelligent. But your most intelligent is the African gray parrot, and then your crows and ravens. I mean, those guys can do puzzles, recognize colors, and all kinds. And obviously, they can talk. They can mimic. So, but yeah, owls are not that intelligent.
So if you want a smart pet with feathers, a parrot, you know, parrots are fascinating. They're just beautiful. And of course, you see on TV a lot, they hear something, they repeat it, and then the wife comes in and, you know, talks about something the husband did that was bad. And that's always good for a joke. But that happens. They mimic and they can sound like a real person. So, In society, James, what kind of a role do owls have? They're not really a food bird like chicken or turkey. They're not poultry. Do we use the feathers for anything, or how are they also in the food chain? Because all animals except for humans are somewhere in that food chain where they eat something and or they get eaten. What's their role there in that ecosystem?
So they are all predators. So they help control the small animal population. So mainly, primarily rodents. So we're talking about mice and rats and voles and shrews, things like that. So without owls, we really would be overrun. Now, we have to think about, too, our smaller owl species. You know, bigger owls or other larger birds of prey or larger predators, I mean, yes, they will eat like a small screech owl. But like the great horned owl, which is our largest owl species, no, nobody's really hunting them unless they're very sick or very old. But other than that, no one's really going to be messing with them. But yeah, they're just very, very important because they really help control those animal populations.
Are there feathers used for pillows or clothing or any other feather pens or any other purpose?
No, so in the United States, no, we are not allowed to do have wild bird feathers for that. It's under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act of 1918. So it's actually a federal offense if you have one and hold one. And not just feathers, but this also includes bones, nests, eggs, anything like that. Now, you have to have a special permit from the U.S. Department of Wildlife. And so park districts, also teachers, places like OSU, Ohio Bird Sanctuary. Basically, if you're going to be doing for education, rehab, or those kind of things, then yes, then you are allowed to obtain the permit. But just your average Joe is not allowed to. And not like bald eagles. I can't even hold a bald eagle feather, even with the permit that I have. Only Native Americans are allowed to hold those feathers because bald eagles are, yes, protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, but they're also protected under the Eagle Act. So that's why Native Americans are allowed to hold feathers. And also, too, as long as they're a recognized tribe, they are allowed to hunt bald eagles. But those are mostly tribes out west. I haven't heard any instances in Ohio. But if there was a tribe in Ohio, then if they go through the process, then yeah, they would be legally allowed to hunt a bald eagle.
Didn't ask you this last time, James, and this question has been on my mind. So before I forget, we talk about the bald eagle, but what other kinds of eagles are there, either in Ohio or other states? Is a bald eagle the one we kind of associate that type of bird with, or are there others that we should be aware of?
So the bald eagle, yes, it's the primary eagle species across North America. The golden eagle is bigger, and they are primarily out west and up north. Every once in a while, we do get a rare visitor visit Ohio, actually Marion County. About 2 or 3 years ago, there was a visitor around the Big Island Wildlife Area. But when it comes to eagle-wise, yes, those are the only two primary species of eagles. Now, across the world, there are a lot of different kind of eagle species.
With this early spring, James, I know you were posting about this on social media. Are we seeing some birds coming back from Florida, wherever they might be, a little early? And we're seeing some plants come up. People have posted pictures of crocuses, and maybe it's croci. Yeah. Are we going to see that? Does that kind of hurt the whole flow, especially if we're probably going to get a cold streak in March or even April? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so the disadvantage that we're getting so warm so early is the animals might be starting to come back, but some of the plant life, some of them are starting to sprout out and grow, but other things in nature like insects and also sometimes some other plant species are just not ready yet, and they come out on their own time. Well, if you got things arriving early, well, these things have to find food. So it can kind of hurt the whole balance because, you know, I always tell people, you know, nature has this perfect timing. But luckily, things like red-winged blackbirds, I mean, yeah, they're starting to come back, but yet they can be at your bird feeders or they can go in cornfields. And so some animals are adaptable, but there's just some animals that, yeah, it can be a little bit challenging, like woodcocks. Woodcocks are a cool little shorebird, and they actually eat primarily earthworms. Well, if the earthworms are, I mean, right now, since it's warming, yeah, they're coming up above the ground level, but it starts to freeze. Well, they're going to head down, and you know, they're going to try to hibernate. Well, then the woodcocks don't have food. So, you know, some of this where it gets warm and cold, warm and cold, warm and cold. It can harm our wildlife. I always tell people, reptiles and amphibians and plants really get impacted the most because reptile amphibians, since they're cold blooded. It just takes a lot of energy to go in and out of hibernation versus birds and mammals. Well, birds don't hibernate, but some mammals do, but it's easier for them to go in and out of that state.
Adam here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, speaking with our naturalist extraordinaire, Mr. James Anderson, on The Naturalist Report, a monthly feature here on this station. Again, be sure to keep listening as your ears and brain cells and funny bone will be very grateful that that you did. Now, James, as I mentioned, lots going on in March. Before we get to that, what else did you do as part of the Park District in February besides the owl program? And of course, the Groundhog Extravaganza, which we talked about.
Yeah. We had our Sweetheart Hike, which is part of our winter hike series. That was on February 11th, and it was probably our most successful program that we've had for the winter hike series since we started several years ago. We had actually 56 people that signed in, and then about 17 people came out for the guided nature tour. So, I mean, it wasn't terribly warm like it is now, but it was probably about close to 40-ish, I would say. So, I mean, I would say a little above average than what February typically is. But, I mean, I was just tickled to have 56 people came, and we had refreshments. We had chili. Our board member, Janine Williams, and her husband made the refreshments. So it was just a really good time. So we're really glad that event went well. And then, unfortunately, our One Cardinal program, we did have to cancel because of weather. But other than that, February, like you mentioned, it went by fast. So we're excited to get back into springtime. So we got a lot of fun programs coming up in the month of March.
Now, these events are educational, James, and they're fun. Something different to do. You know, again, Marion is so unique. You can really enjoy nature while you're still in a decent-sized city. Plenty to do, and we encourage people to avail themselves. How does one, besides listening to this program, which we certainly hope that everybody's doing, but not everybody can listen. You know, I don't want to be not sure what to say. So we'll just go ahead and undo that part of the fun of live radio. You can kind of say something silly and, you know, rewind the tape, the virtual tape. So instead, those who may not be availing themselves of this program, how can one find out about the upcoming programs on the agenda for the Park District?
So social media, that's probably the big thing. So we do Facebook, we have Instagram, we have Twitter. So those are our three major platforms. I do have a YouTube channel, but I really don't really advertise my programs on the YouTube channel. But yeah, if they're on Facebook, we have the two Facebook pages, the Marion Tallgrass Trail and also the Marion County Park District. And then if you type in Instagram, either or, it should pop up. Same with Twitter. But that's how they keep up to date when programs are going along. If there's any type of cancellation, also our family fun events. So, but yeah, social media is definitely the big way on how to find out when things are going on.
So we encourage people to bookmark, to favoritize, if that's a word, those pages and find out what's going on. Of course, in this program, we can talk directly to the person who runs these events, who suggests them, who is, out of lack of a better term, in charge of these happenings. So let's go in and do that. You know, we go from a 28-day month of February to a 31-day month of March, and kind of when people think of spring as beginning. So what is on the agenda, James, for the busy month of March for the Park District?
All right. So for March 8th at 5:30 p.m., we're going to be doing our Owl Prowl program. So if you missed the one that we just mentioned earlier, this is a great opportunity to come out and learn about owls of Ohio/Marion County. So should be a good time. On March 11th from 1 to 4 p.m. is our Shamrock Hike. And this is the last one of the winter hike series. So we did the Polar Hike in January, Sweetheart Hike in February, and the Shamrock Hike. That'll be the last one for, again, March 11th. A guided nature tour with me, that will start at 1:30 p.m. Now, we do have some hiking sticks available left, and they are free. TJ Downey, he's one of our locals here in Marion, and he grabs sticks along the trail, and then he takes them home, and he sands them down, and he puts a special coating on them, and then he puts a washer nut there at the end. So when you're walking, you get a good grasp into the ground. So again, it's a great opportunity. We'll have refreshments. It's just a good time to be out in nature and meet new people. So again, that'll be on March 11th. On the 13th at 5:30 p.m., we have our woodcock/timberdoodle program. And if you're not familiar, this is a unique little bird. They are actually migrating up. from down south, and they'll when they get up here, this is their breeding season, so this is when they're going to be pretty active, hearing them, seeing them. So we definitely take advantage during that time to talk about them. So yeah, come on out on the 13th. On the 23rd, we're at 8 o'clock a.m. We will be having a morning bird watching program at Tallgrass Trail. Oh, and I forgot to mention the woodcock program. Yes, it's also at Tallgrass Trail as well at the trailhead. So the bird watching program, again, it's at Marion Tallgrass Trail, 8 o'clock in the morning. So no, it sounds early, but that is when a lot of the birds are active. And then on the 30th, we're having our listening for Frog and Toads program at 6 o'clock p.m. Now, this is at Marion Tallgrass Trail, but we are meeting at the Her Road parking lot, which is the parking lot there at Marion Community Foundation Lake. Now, we do want to mention, if it is below freezing, we'll probably will have to cancel because most of the time they are not going to be active. They're not going to be croaking, making any sounds because, as we mentioned earlier, being a cold-blooded animal, they just don't do very well in those conditions. So as long as it's above freezing, especially if it's a day like today, we would definitely will have it. But again, that will be at the Marion Tallgrass Trail starting at the Her Road parking lot. And that is our programs for the month of March. And of course, we always go into schools and nursing homes and do some programs here and there with different groups and organizations. So if you belong to any groups, it could be for youth or adults or seniors. You can either come out to the parks as field trips, or we can come out to your facility and do a nature program. And we have all kinds of nature programs that we can offer.
Adam here on The Talking Place with our official naturalist, Mr. James Anderson, a monthly feature, The Naturalist Report, on this station. Now, James, we talk a lot about the Tallgrass Trail, and that's where a lot of the events take place. Now, tell us again, what are the hours of the Tallgrass Trail? Can anybody just show up during open hours and walk around, enjoy nature, you know, get out the binoculars? Is there any charge to use it? What can one do when you're not having one of the events at the Tallgrass Trail? Also tell us where it's located and the best way to get there.
Yeah. So Marion Tallgrass Trail, it is on the west side of the city of Marion. It's right there by Whirlpool. Right by the windmills while we're neighbors. If you're plugging it into your GPS for the trailhead, it's 2093 Holland Road West, Marion, Ohio. Make sure you put the west in your address, because if not, it will take you to an abandoned field. But no, all of our parks are free. What's nice about our county parks and state parks, we're free. And a lot of people don't realize in Ohio, when it comes to state park-wise, Ohio and I think six or seven other states have free admission. Most other states have some type of admission to get in. And of course, national parks, yeah, it does cost to get in as well. But our hours, it ranges from season to season. So it's from sunrise to sundown. So, you know, that's going to change. And, you know, when the time changes, you know, obviously when the sun setting is going to be a little bit later, you know, you can do that. So we just don't want people out, you know, when it's completely black, because, you know, especially the trails next to some houses, you know, we want to keep everybody safe. But that's kind of more towards the end of the trail. But yeah, other than our programs, I mean, you can go out and walk, you can go out and bike at the lake, you can go fishing, canoeing, and kayaking. Just make sure if you're 16 or older, you do need a fishing license. And just make sure if you're canoeing or kayaking that it is registered under the Division of Parks and Watercraft. So there's just some other fun recreational opportunities.
So the Tallgrass Trail offers a lot for people, not just during one of your events. Have you found, yeah, James, of the people that have attended these events, especially where it's been a few dozen people, which is great, people were not aware of the Tallgrass Trail, how expansive it is, what they can do. Do your events serve a purpose of educating people about this feature of our county?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, most people think they can go walking and biking, but I think a lot of people don't realize about the lake, about the fishing, canoeing, and kayaking. But also, too, you know, I do emphasis about our other sister parks that we are in charge of. I mentioned about Paradise Nature Preserve and Greensboro and Myers Woods. I always tell people about those parks that they are not blacktop or paved like Tallgrass Trail, but they're loop trails. You begin where you start. And they're very nice nature preserve, very woodsy feeling. So if you like that kind of atmosphere, I highly recommend I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Tallgrass Trail, but I always love to emphasize about the other parks that we have. And not just our parks, the county parks. But I tell people just how blessed we are in Marion County of all the natural green spaces from the county, the city, and, of course, some of the other entities like Pleasant Township Park, Tardyce Nature Center, Big Island Wildlife Area, which is owned by the state of Ohio, and then the two properties owned by Pheasants Forever. So we're just very, very blessed because most or a lot of counties, you know, yes, they do have some parks, but I just think Marion County just has a great diversity of natural areas.
So we certainly encourage people to avail themselves of the Tallgrass Trail and all the other nature opportunities that yes. present themselves. And this program is certainly a good way of learning about that. Every time we talk, James, I always learn a little bit more about our natural environs and things that people can do. And, you know, if you're in Marion, as I say, and you're bored, you probably don't know all the opportunities available to you to not only be very unbored, but learn something. And as we like to say, giggle just a little bit. Now, you do have an intern program, James, for a little later in the year. You had a really good intern last year. How is the intern search going, and what can we look forward to with our new intern person as we get ready to welcome the warmer time of the year?
Yeah, as of right now, now things could change, but as of right now, I think our previous intern from last year, Jonah Bodel, I think he's coming back on board. So that would be great to have him again because he's a senior right now at Pleasant High School. So once he graduates, I know he's planning going to OSU. So I think for a zoology degree. So, yeah, he's a very bright young man, and we'll be excited if he jumps back on board. And then we're always hoping in the future, you know, our interns go to some good places. I know he's got a bright future. I know some of our other previous interns have been at different parks around Ohio. So we've had some really good candidates throughout the years.
Well, that's great to have him back. He was very active last year. You said you even learned a few things from him.
I did. Yeah, especially since he is very big on raising reptiles. And when I'm talking about reptiles, mostly like pet reptiles like you can buy at a pet store. But he still, yes, very, very knowledgeable. Actually, when I have questions about my Russian tortoise, I actually go to him and ask him questions. So, yeah, he's a really good resource.
So he is a turtle and reptile scholar. And
yeah.
I certainly think he will be doing quite a bit to help out the park district, to help us all learn. You know, every day you wake up, you learn something, and we can look forward to that. After the month of March, James, when we really go head first into spring, what kind of things are on the agenda? What's an event maybe people should mark their calendar for as we get closer and closer to this warmer part of the year in our Midwestern four-season climate?
Yeah, so April 22nd, it's the opening day of trails. And now, since we are part of the Rails to Trails program, and if you're not familiar with Rails to Trails, it's an organization that helps counties throughout the United States to help convert the old abandoned railroads and convert them to hiking and biking trails. So, we are a part of that program. So, April 22nd, throughout the nation, it's called the Opening Days of Trails event. Now, everybody has their own thing. Some do 5Ks, some do just nature hikes, some do invasive species removal. We're going to do something unique on April 22nd. So, but one of the things we're going to be doing, I'm going to do another guided nature tours. A lot of people like that, but we're going to have a guest speaker. He's going to talk about some bike safety tips. And also, too, we're going to have some activities for younger kids and older kids. So we'll definitely get in more detail next month. But, yeah, mark your calendars down for April 22nd. Yeah, it's going to be a good time.
So lots coming up for the Park District where you can learn, participate, find out about the flora and fauna that share our world. And, of course, like anything good in this adventure we call life, laugh a little bit, that always helps. Just got a few minutes left here, James. Again, we thank you for joining us on this monthly feature, the Naturalist Report. Remind us again how to get in touch with you. People may have questions or comments, you know, complaints, whatever, as well as how to learn about what's going on with the Park District, all the 411 on the social media and websites and emails and all that other good high-tech stuff.
All right. So, yeah, if you need assistance of any kind, definitely social media is definitely going to be the fastest form of us getting back to you. So, again, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, follow those pages or those accounts. But also, we do have an office phone number. So our office phone number is 740-223-4161. Again, that's 740-223-4161. So then also, too, if you go to Google and type in Marion County, Ohio Park District, make sure you put the Ohio because there's like 30-some other Marions in the United States. But once you click that link, there should be a contact us form, and then myself or my boss, Dan Sheridan, will receive that message, and then we'll make sure we get back to you. So those are kind of the three things. But again, the social media route, that will give you usually the fastest response.
Last but not least, James, remind us how long you've had your current position at the Park District and how have things changed or evolved since, you know, the first day you clocked in for your job, and what do you maybe see in the future for the Park District? Seems like every year it gets bigger and you get more people participating and just grows and grows. What do you see in your crystal ball? And just, yeah, remind us again how long you've had your job and what kind of changes you've seen since you clocked in that first day.
So I've been with the Park District. It's going to be 8 years on May. So yeah, boy, it's gone by fast. But yeah, like you mentioned, I mean, every year it seems like we're adding something or changing something. You know, when I first started almost 8 years ago, you know, Tallgrass Trail was only 3.7 miles long. You know, at that time, not a lot of people knew who we were. I'm not just talking Tallgrass Trail. I'm just talking about the whole Park District in general. So I think with us, with the trail expansion, you know, all the way to the end, and then my education programs, I have noticed the awareness has definitely has increased throughout the years. Because when I first started, you know, people had no idea who we were. No, people had no idea that Tallgrass Trail or the other parks that I mentioned earlier, that they were right there. And of course, I always loved the response. You know, I lived in Marion for, you know, so many years, but I had no idea that that place existed. And I hear it less and less every year. So, but definitely some fun future things that will be happening. We're hopefully crossing our fingers. But, and you know, we have mentioned this before. We are getting a new building. So as a lot of your listeners might be, you know, listening to that a while ago, this is quite a few years ago, but behind where the center is, that used to be the old county dump. You know, and as the dump was done, the methane is starting to build up, you know, and it is slowly traveling. Now, it hasn't reached the building yet. They say it could be 10, 20, 100 years. We have no idea. But the EPA just wants us to get ahead of the thing before, you know, the methane would reach the building. So the idea is hopefully in the springtime, and we're not sure when springtime, but hopefully here soon we'll have some construction, and maybe by early summer-ish it could be done. So, but again, a lot of factors going up in the air. But we're excited that, yeah, we could be having a new building here shortly. So that's exciting.
So lots on the horizon for the Marion Park District. And again, we encourage people to avail themselves of these programs. You'll learn something, and almost every single instance won't even cost you anything. Well, you know, some of the best things in life are free, and the Park District is certainly one of them. Well, James, thank you very much for being on the program with me. Always a good time. You know, we have fun, laugh a little bit, and certainly, again, learn something, and sometimes cause people to realize participating in these programs is a good idea. I mean, you really appreciate where you live more if you learn about the nature that surrounds us. A lot more out there than just Homo sapiens. And talked about owls, talked about groundhogs, even some of the political aspects of Groundhog Day, which came into play this year. The past, present, and future of the Park District, and looking forward to welcoming back your intern a little later in the year, and that'll certainly be productive. Thanks again, James, and we hope you have a great rest of your day, and then this upcoming month of March is one of the best ever. I guess we'll find out exactly if Mother Nature is playing an early April fool's joke on us by some of this almost summery weather in late February, or maybe we'll get a foot of snow around St. Patrick's Day. Guess we'll find out, won't we?
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day. Adam at WWGH1071.com. That's the way to reach me, and we appreciate your listening. Once again, if you miss this program or anything else featuring myself or Scott or Linda or any of our other esteemed hosts and hostesses, be sure to visit our website at WWGH1071.com. You will see links to show information, station information, and how to listen toward the top of the website.